an economic snapshot.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We get June unemployment numbers from the Labor Department today. It looks like the economy probably lost several hundred thousand more jobs. And of course, the lack of job creation defies the goals of last winter's $700 billion stimulus package. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
When President-elect Barack Obama unveiled his stimulus package for the struggling economy back in January, he predicted,
"Our plan will likely save or create 3 to 4 million jobs."
But critics like Michael Boskin, who was chief economic advisor to the first George Bush, says spending for construction, health, and education projects has been too slow to generate many jobs.
If they were really interested in stimulus, they would have had the vast bulk of the funds get to people and create incentives for business to reduce layoffs immediately, not delayed over several years.
Instead of boosting spending, Boskin says cutting taxes would have gotten money into the economy more quickly. And Arizona State University economist Lee McFeeters raises another problem. The stimulus has been spread equally around the country, even though some states have far worse jobless rates than others.
So the money is distributed by population rather than distributed by where the problems are.
While some argue it's time to abandon what's left of the stimulus package, defenders urge patience. It'll take a while, they say, for businesses to start hiring new workers. First, they have to reduce inventories and become more confident about consumer demand in the future. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We just found out unemployment in the Eurozone, the 16 countries that use the euro, hit a 10-year high in May, 9.5%. European shares are lower right now. The German DAX off by more than a percent. Asian markets ended today mostly lower as well. Markets stateside had a little buying session yesterday. The S&P 500 and NASDAQ gained about 0.5%. The Dow rose 57 points, 0.7% to close at 85.04. There's been fast economic reaction to the military coup in Honduras. Neighboring countries in Central America have suspended trade. The World Bank's postponed millions of dollars in loans. But the United States has held off on sanctions for now. From the America's Desk at WLRN in Miami, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
President Barack Obama says the overthrow of Honduran President Manuel Zelaya sets a terrible precedent for Latin America. But his administration has not formally labeled it a coup, because that would cut off development aid. Gabriel Torres is a sovereign risk analyst with Moody's Investors Services.
There is a legal procedure by which if you formally certify it as a coup, then certain amounts of money would be put in jeopardy.
For instance, more than $200 million in funding from the Millennium Challenge aid program. Torres says the U.S. could turn the economic screws further. It could cut off trade to Honduras, or even inhibit the flow of money sent home by Honduran immigrants.
None of that has yet happened. The government of the United States is still trying to work behind the scenes to try to resolve this.
The Organization of American States, with U.S. backing, has given the Honduran military until Saturday to restore Zelaya to power. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Hitachi today says it'll boost production of its lithium-ion batteries in a deal with General Motors. It plans on upping its output from 40,000 units a month to 3 million batteries a month to help supply GM hybrid cars in 2010.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Superbrands, Brandweek's annual ranking of America's top 2,000 brands. You can Google Brandweek's Superbrands for more information.
Ask any economist about an important key to our financial recovery, and they'll point to housing. The Obama administration's tried a number of programs to stem the foreclosure rate, but right now the housing market remains unstable. So what's Plan B? Time this morning for a little back and forth. We asked a couple of commentators, Robert Reich and Mark Zandi, about what other actions the government should take. Zandi says loan modifications, but Robert Reich says he's not so keen on that.
Are taxpayers going to bail out all of these underwater homeowners by reducing the principal?
You know, I think taxpayers are going to have to ante up more. I think it's important for people to realize that if we don't solve this problem and bring an end to it, house prices will continue to evaporate, and we will all be a lot less wealthy, and tax revenue is a lot lower. So I think it's a good, it's actually a necessary investment. So what do you think? I mean, how can we address this?
I would be in favor of a national moratorium on foreclosures. Several states have tried it with some success. Why not a 6 months the national moratorium on everybody?
When we've tried it, a lot of states, as you pointed, have tried it, and it didn't really help. In fact, as soon as the moratoriums were off, foreclosures started to surge again. And, you know, you're not solving the underlying problem, and that's rising unemployment and falling housing values. And, you know, I'm not sure that you're going to make any solve any problems by just delaying the problem.
If you delay it long enough, then housing prices begin to start turning up again. Here's another idea. What about the cram down provision? What about simply allowing people, as they're allowed with their second homes, to declare bankruptcy and to reorganize their finances? After all, big corporations can do it. At the very least, this would give homeowners more bargaining leverage to change the terms of their mortgages, right?
Probably will be other fallout from that. I mean, for example, when people file for bankruptcy, they not only will get their mortgage crammed down, but you'd reduce the amount of credit card debt they owe, health care bills, everything else that they have debts on. And it creates other problems for the rest of the financial system that I'm not sure we fully, truly understand the consequences of. But, you know, listening to you talk, you know, it does highlight the complexity of this issue. I don't think there's any other issue that policymakers face that is as difficult as the current housing foreclosure crisis. There's no easy answer to this one.
Well, I'm still going to hold on to a national foreclosure moratorium until you absolutely convince me otherwise. Mark, it's great talking to you.
Okay. It was great. Thank you, Bob.
Mark Zandi is the chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com. Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California at Berkeley. Share your thoughts with us at Marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.